Kids.
Masks Now Coalition and the Colorado Mask Project are making face masks for those in need. And they need assistance sewing masks, providing fabric, delivering masks, and more. More information at masksnow.org or coloradomaskproject.com.
Are you missing live music this summer?
Aren't we all?
Hi, I'm Indra Raj. Summer
and I'm
is
Joel
here.
Davis.
And as we make and our way Thursday, through the COVID-19 July 9th, during pandemic, the afternoon we know all you festivals will be presenting Corona Palooza, a special 3-hour show featuring the artists we'll be missing on the concert circuit this year.
Even though we can't get funky at the Fox, pack ourselves in to Lost Lake or the Lion's Lair, or bake in the sun at Red Rocks, we can still gather around our radios together and listen to the many artists we won't be seeing this summer.
So join us from noon to 3 p.m. on Thursday, July 9th on KGNU as the Afternoon Sound Alternative does Corona Palooza.
You are tuned to KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Tonight on the Cabaret program, we'll be featuring some more archive performances from local jazz artists, starting with Joshua Trinidad, who joined us in 2018, just ahead of his In November release. Later on in the show, we'll hear from the Annie Booth Ensemble and Andre Molly's project, Jazz Nicholson.
Thank you.
That was the Josh Trinidad Trio from April of 2018, just ahead of their release of the album in November, featuring Joshua Trinidad on trumpet, Jacob Young on guitars, and Stola Solberg on drums and percussion. Next up, we're going to hear the Annie Booth Ensemble, who stopped by KGNU in February of 2018. They spoke with KGNU's Indra Raj, and this is the Cabaret Program on KGNU.
My name is Indra. I'm very happy to have in the studio with me today the Annie Booth Quartet. What do you guys call yourselves?
That's great.
Okay.
Annie Booth Quartet.
Okay, great. So why don't we do a quick round robin of everyone's names and what instrument you play and maybe where you're from, and then we'll get into some music.
Perfect.
Let's start with you, Annie.
My name's Annie Booth, and I'm a pianist and composer, and I'm from Denver, Colorado.
Great.
Hi, I'm Alejandro Castaño, and I'm from Denver, playing drums today.
My name is Patrick McDevitt, and I'm from Parker, Colorado.
Nice.
Catherine Radakovich. I sing, and I'm originally from a small town in northern Idaho called Lewiston.
Nice. And Patrick plays the bass.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful. So great. What do you guys have for us first musically?
Well, we are going to start something off with just the trio. And this is an original composition of mine called Jolly Beach.
Great. This is the Annie Booth Trio on KGNU.
Thank you.
stuff from the Annie Booth Trio. Thank you, guys. It was beautiful. Really wonderful stuff. So, Annie, you wrote that tune?
I did, yes.
Wonderful. I have to say it's super inspiring and great to see a jazz trio led by a female.
Oh, thank you. It is rare.
It does not happen very often, I want to ask more about in a bit. But I'd love to know how you guys came together as a group. How did you meet each other? How did this musical configuration form?
Yeah. So Patrick and Alejandro and I have been friends for a really long time. We first met as high schoolers playing music in the Colorado Conservatory for the Jazz Arts, amazing nonprofit here in Boulder and in Denver. And so we all went to different high schools, but we met and we're playing music. And then really, I think our friendship and our musical friendship took off when we were all at CU Boulder. And we were all studying up there, studying jazz. And we would just get together like late at night and practice and want to get better as friends and hang out and jam. And we kind of really developed a bond then. And it's just kind of been with us ever since. And so they're two of my best friends. And we just have a really strong musical connection too, which is really special.
Yeah, that's awesome. And really inspiring to see people who are from the area who studied here. You guys all studied in Colorado and then stayed here. So a lot of jazz musicians will go to bigger cities or other places like that. I don't know if it was your experience in the music program at CU. Did people typically stick around? Did they go other places? Or are you guys unique in that way?
I think in some ways we are a little unique that we've kind of been committed to staying here in Denver. And I think it's been a really nice advantage for us because we've had so many great performance opportunities here in Denver. And, you know, as the whole state of Colorado is just kind of booming right now, there's more venues opening up, there's more clubs, there's more opportunities for musicians. So we've been keeping really, really busy as freelancers. All three of us are, you know, professional musicians full time, no day gigs. And so for me, that I think that's really special to be able to stay in my community. And then also, you know, we tour around the country. So we've been able to play in a lot of different other cities as well and meet new people that way.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So let's talk a little bit about what's coming up at the Dairy. On March 14th, which is a Wednesday, you're going to be performing a piece called Flowers of Evil.
Yes. Which is a pretty heavy title, but yeah.
So I was just reading a little bit about it. It's based on the poetry of a French poet, 19th century poet, Charles Baudelaire.
Yeah, that's correct.
So tell me about this project. It's so interesting.
It's pretty out there. So while I was a student at the University of Colorado, I studied French. I got a minor in French in addition to my major in music. And I took this class, 19th century French literature, and kind of dove into Charles Baudelaire. And something about it just really struck me. Like, it's really dark poetry, but it's really beautiful at the same time. And so it kind of has this duality that I just thought was so interesting. And even back then, as a 21-year-old, I set one of his poems to music for my senior recital. Oh, nice. And I just liked the idea of using music the same way that he used words and stories and trying to create that duality, that like beauty and that darkness in music. It's not usually my tendency. You know, I like to write happy music. I like to write music that's fun. And so this was something that's been on my mind forever. And I just kind of finally just dove into it. So last year I went up to the Banff Center in Banff, Alberta in Canada, and spent 2 weeks in kind of solitude just writing this piece and getting the ball rolling. And I wanted to use a lot of colors, so that's why it's going to be a 10-piece ensemble.
Yes, wow.
Which is really cool. It's and it's an ensemble I've never really written for. This is my first time with strings. So I have violin and cello, and that adds just so much beauty and so much color for me as a composer. But I also have brass, I have trumpet and trombone, and then woodwinds. So from flute to bass clarinet, I have a couple of people doubling. So, and then I have these wonderful musicians in my trio, joining me, and a vocalist who you'll hear in a little bit, Catherine Radakovich. So it's just, I've set six of these poems to music, and half are English and then half are French. So working with some translations, and almost all of them are sung. One of them spoken word, but it's really interesting music, and it's been just an amazing journey for me as a composer to dive into a challenging thing for myself. That's kind of originally how it just came about, was I thought, had this crazy idea and just kind of dove into the challenge of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically like writing for an orchestra with all those parts.
Yeah,
so absolutely. I'm assuming this is the first time you've ever done that.
It is, yeah. I haven't written, I mean, I've written for big band before, but that's somewhat more prescribed.
Yeah.
And this is kind of, you know, it's an ensemble where there's not tons of precedent for this sort of style of music. And I've been calling it like chamber music jazz,
mm-hmm.
because it's not 100% jazz, but it's also not 100% chamber music, because there is improvisation. I can't let go of that, because that's part of who I am.
Yep.
As a musician and as a composer. And I do draw from the jazz language, but it is very, very much inspired by you know, my favorite chamber music.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll be hearing improvisation. It's just going to be really, it's going to be a really unique thing.
Yes. Genre bending. We like that here at KGNU.
Yeah, I like that word. That's it.
So let's hear some more music, maybe a couple more tunes, and then we'll talk a little bit more. What do you have next for us?
Well, I was thinking of bringing Catherine Radakovich, the vocalist, on. So we're going to do a little sneak peek of what you can expect at the Dairy Center on March 14th. We're going to do two quick movements of The Flowers of Evil. This first one is called The Owls in English. In French, it's going to be sung in French. It's called Les Hiboux. And then we'll do one that I've translated into English, kind of actually with my own translation. That one's called Beauty. So
great.
We'll just kind of do both of them.
All right. This is Annie Booth and friends here on KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins.
finds his death. I inspire the poet with a love as long as everlasting earth and as taciturn. Swan, white of heart, a sphinx, no mortal knows my throne is heaven's azure deep. I hate all movement that disturbs my pose. I never smile, nor do I
Booth and Catherine singing before us today on KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Catherine, are you trained in both jazz and classical vocal techniques?
I am. I studied classical technique for my undergraduate and graduate studies in Idaho and down in Southern California. Mm-hmm. But simultaneously, I've been studying jazz since I was a little child. Unexpectedly, I suppose, up in northern Idaho, they have a huge international jazz festival the University of Idaho. It's called the Lionel Hampton International Jazz Festival.
Oh, yeah, great.
Because they had a special relationship with Lionel Hampton back in the day when his band was touring through that area. Mm-hmm. And because of that and how much emphasis they put on jazz education in the Pacific Northwest, I got to meet with and play with and learn from jazz musicians every year since I was probably 9 years old.
Yeah, that's so fantastic. Yeah. I mean, it's rare that you meet someone who really grows up with both traditions, mm-hmm. studying them. Did they ever come into conflict with one another in terms of, like, technique? I've heard from singers before that they're not allowed to sing certain styles because it will ruin their technique in another style, but it doesn't seem like that's the case for you.
No, in fact, it's quite the opposite. I teach at Metro. I'm a jazz voice teacher there, and I also lead their early music ensemble, so I'm doing that a lot in my teaching, but also in my singing career. Mm-hmm. And I think that good, healthy classical technique is absolutely paramount to any genre of singing, mm-hmm. and that doing so allows you to be a better musician in any genre.
Yeah.
And so my jazz studies have made me a better classical singer because mm-hmm. the improvisation that I participate in jazz gives me more freedom in the way that I interpret classical music. And my classical training has made me a better jazz musician because it gives me the ability to sing healthily and for long periods of time. And I don't question anything that I do with my voice in any genre. I know that I'm using it healthily, and it just gives me a bigger range of not only pitches, but expression and color and all of that.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah. They're very much linked.
Totally. So, you know, I said earlier, Annie, that it's rare that you see females kind of taking the forefront in the jazz culture, really. I went to Oberlin College and Conservatory back in the day, and of, I don't know, 150, 200 jazz students, there were only like three women that I knew in the whole program. And, you know, talking to them about it, it was difficult for them, I think, at times, kind of noticing that obvious difference between them and the rest of the students they were coming up with. So I'm curious to know if that has ever... how that has played into your experience as a jazz musician.
Yeah, well, that doesn't surprise me. Like you said, there's a few, because that's a little bit, you know, it's typical, I think, most places. It's unfortunately been, it's just a male-dominated genre, mm-hmm. and it has been for a long time. So it's definitely something I think that is part of every female jazz musician's career. Like, I think every woman who does this professionally has dealt with that issue of just being of the issue of gender, and whether that's, you know, some women have had more more serious sort of encounters with that. You know, there's discrimination that certainly exists. Mm-hmm. And for me, I've actually kind of a part of my career. I mean, it's a part of who I am, obviously, being a woman, and it's a part of the music I write, and it's a part of, you know, my sort of vision as for my business of running my group. And mm-hmm. But a part of that career, something that is really important to me now, is to encourage more young women to play this music. So I teach through, I mentioned Colorado Conservatory for the Jazz Arts, and I teach through them, and I'm also on staff there. So it's an organization that's really important to me. And this last fall, actually, I started an all-girls jazz camp. it was just a one-day camp. Oh, we did it up at CU Boulder. It was so inspiring. I was expecting there to be 10 girls to sign up. We had 25 on every instrument. Bass trombone to flute to drums, everything. And so, you know, there's not a lot I feel like I can do about, you know, just the fact that I don't have any female peers, you know, who are instrumentalists who are doing what I'm doing. And that kind of sucks. But the thing I can do is try and encourage the next generation of middle schoolers and high schoolers, because those girls, that's where we experience it from the beginning, is in middle school and high school, when we first start playing our instruments. And the girls who might have so much talent and potential, and they love jazz, but they just feel discouraged because they feel shy or they feel embarrassed or whatever. Yeah. And so that's kind of been one of my missions as of late, is to encourage those young women that they are more than prepared to take on playing jazz, you know, in front of people just as much as their male peers are. So it's a complex, you know, it's a complex issue that has many, many angles. But I'm glad you brought that up, because it is rare to see a woman leading an instrumental group.
Absolutely. So I mean, just congratulations on all the great work you're doing with your group, and also the Colorado. What's it called?
Colorado Conservatory for the Jazz Arts.
Yeah, that's so fantastic. I mean, it's just, I'm sure that those girls are learning so much from each other and just feeling more empowered all the time. And it's just, it's really important. So I applaud you for that work. That's really
wonderful. Thank you, Indra. Thank you.
All right. So let's hear one more song from you guys. And then we'll talk a little bit more, just final thing, about your Dairy performance.
Awesome.
And thanks to all our listeners out there who are tuning in. If you are just joining us, we are listening to the Annie Booth Ensemble.
That's perfect.
They are a jazz group and playing some really wonderful music for us this morning. So what do you have up for us next?
Well, we are going to do the title track from my debut album, which came out a few years ago. This is called Wanderlust, and this is going to feature Patrick McDevitt on the bass up front.
Great. This is KGNU. Thank you.
That was Annie Booth and friends who visited KGNU in February of 2018. They spoke with Indra. Next up in our jazz-themed cabaret this evening of archived performances, we'll hear from Jazz Nicholson, a project of Denver-based trumpet player Andre Molly, recorded back in May of 2016, right after this announcement.
The Shy Person's Guide. The Tangerine Dream. 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 The Tangerine Dream.
Join Uncle Jeff and Dave Alex as we explore the legacy of Tangerine Dream and Edgar Froese.
Learn about the German electronic scene starting in the early 70s and how it led to sequencers and synthesizers and pop music and beyond.
Wednesday, July 8th, Morning Sound Alternative on KGNUAfterFM.com.
Good evening, everybody. You're listening to the Cabaret on KGNU, where we feature the best of our musical talent along the Front Range. Tonight is no exception, as we have the fabulous Jazz Nicholson Band here, and they're going to lay it down for you, give you a great taste of what they do musically.
Thank you.
You have been listening to the Cabaret program here on KGNU. In this hour, we've featured archive performances from Joshua Trinidad early in the hour from April of 2018, the Annie Booth Ensemble from February of 2018, and we're wrapping up the hour here with Jazz Nicholson featuring Andre Molly on trumpet. Stay tuned at the top of the hour for Corriente.
This is KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins.
Musica Mundi is Latin for Music of the World. On Wednesdays from 8 to 10 p.m., this international show spans the globe in musical styles. From obscure field recordings to new recordings of traditional styles, you'll hear music from around the world that you won't hear anywhere else. That's Musica Mundi, Wednesdays from 8 to 10 p.m. on KGNU.
En cualquier estado que usted se encuentre, buenas noches. Buenas tardes, buenas mañanas o buenas afternoons. Ahora le presentamos este producto que viene desde lo más profundo de nuestros corazones. Es un proyecto que ha tomado dedicación, pero viene de lo más profundo de cada uno de nosotros. Experimentando con ritmo y sentimientos, sentimientos que se han podido transmitir a la música, por esta música con cultura, música con dedicación. Por favor, continuemos con la música.